You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Victory Monday here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or a commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever become professional football players. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch, whether you're at home or in the dome, Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi is made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. The Saints get a win at home with a dominant defensive performance and a dynamic quarterback performance from first-time starter Taysom Hill. We'll recap the game and talk top performances on the offensive side before breaking down Taysom Hill's first career start at quarterback by answering three questions. How much did the offense change around him? Can the success be sustained? And did he earn another start next week? Then we'll wrap up with our top defensive performances and our overall impressions of the Saints defense that has been on an absolute tear over these last 3 weeks. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. New Orleans Saints quarterback Taysom Hill gets his first career start and his first career win with a 24-9 victory over the NFC South rival Atlanta Falcons, aided by a dominating defensive performance. It's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. The New Orleans Saints came into this game with Taysom Hill as the starter at quarterback, with Drew Brees being placed on injured reserve after further tests of his chest injuries showed not just 5 rib fractures, but 11 rib fractures in addition to his collapsed lung. No surprise that Drew Brees was not going to be playing in this game, but maybe a little bit of a surprise to see Taysom Hill get the call over Jameis Winston. There were reports coming out before Sunday's game that there were players and staff members who believe that Jameis Winston should have been the decision, but I can tell you, any hostility that those reports were trying to create certainly no longer exists after a 24-9 absolute demolition of another NFC South rival in the Atlanta Falcons. The Saints would also go into this game without Marcus Davenport, their number one corner. This was tough because Julio Jones was also coming back, although Julio Jones did deal with a hamstring injury throughout this game, going in and out of the lineup. Patrick Robinson stood in his stead and played very well up against the star wide receiver on the outside. The Saints also got a phenomenal game from their defense here, but the headline here is all going to be all Taysom Hill all the time. The Saints ran 62 offensive plays, 36 rushes, and 26 dropbacks. Of those 26 dropbacks, Taysom Hill threw 23 passes, completing 18 of them for 233 yards. He did not throw a touchdown in this game, but he did run for 2, and Alvin Kamara ran for a touchdown as well, which would become his first career touchdown in his 7th game against the Atlanta Falcons, leaving only one team that he has not yet scored a touchdown against, being the Dallas Cowboys. Will Lutz was also 1 of 2 for field goals in this one, which is how they got up to 24 points. The only field goal that he missed, though, was a 53-yarder. The Saints defense played an incredible game, allowing a couple of scores early, a few field goals, but a red zone stop, the only trip they allowed to the red zone being in that opening drive. The Falcons would score 9 points on 3 field goals in the first half, but be completely shut out by the Saints defense in the second half. Going into halftime, the Saints would score a touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the second quarter. That makes for 8 straight games with a score, either a field goal or a touchdown, in the final 2 minutes of the first half for the New Orleans Saints. Now their second straight game after having a streak of 5 such games. One game earlier, they did not score a touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the first half against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their Week 9 throttling of a different divisional rival. The Saints would go on to score 21 straight points in this game to solidify their lead. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Falcons would go through the early portions of their second half with a negative net yardage after several drives. The Saints defense played an outstanding game here, gathering 8 total sacks, 3 of which by Cam Jordan, 2 interceptions, 1 by Marcus Williams, another from Janoris Jenkins, who was so close all game before he finally got one in the final quarter. And then they also piled on 11 total quarterback hits and a whopping 11 passes defended as well. The Saints defense were all over the field from every position, making a ton of plays. Again, Cam Jordan, after getting 3 sacks in this game, now has 21 sacks against Matt Ryan. That is the most for an individual player against an individual quarterback in the NFL. And Cam Jordan wasn't the only one making it into the record books. You got a couple from the offensive side as well, as we get into our top performers for the Saints offense in this 24-9 victory against the Atlanta Falcons. Alvin Kamara becomes the first player in NFL history to gather 500 plus rushing yards and 500 plus receiving yards in each of their first 4 years in the NFL. And Michael Thomas becomes the record holder for the most receptions in a player's first 5 years as well. The Saints top performers over on the offensive side, the Saints run game gathering 4.7 yards per carry in this game. 168 was their total over 36 carries, including 10 from Taysom Hill, 13 from Alvin Kamara, 12 from Latavius Murray, and the rest from Deontay Harris. Michael Thomas got back into the groove, catching 9 of his 12 targets for 104 yards. And Emmanuel Sanders had a great game as well. 4 catches on 5 targets for 66 yards. Could have had a touchdown on a huge completion had it not been called back due to an Eric McCoy holding penalty. But of course, the biggest game ball that we have to give out here goes to Saints quarterback Taysom Hill, the Swiss Army knife, proving he's more than just a gadget player, getting his first career win as a first-time career starter at the quarterback position for the New Orleans Saints. We're going to dig a little bit deeper into his performance up next, how the offense changed around him. Is it sustainable, and does he get another shot against the Denver Broncos? We'll talk about all of that and much more coming up here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Look, getting an opportunity like the one that Taysom Hill just got to take over the starting role for the New Orleans Saints doesn't come without hard work. And if you're working towards a goal and you need to put that work in, Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. We've got world-class instructors that are going to motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 90 days. Just go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch, there's a lot of exciting stuff to watch with the New Orleans Saints here, especially with Taysom Hill getting his first win as a starting quarterback in his career. And now we get to see just how much he's able to evolve along with Sean Payton and the rest of this offense. And as all of that is going down, Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com and check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Houdat Nation, coming up later on this week with the Thursday off for Thanksgiving. There won't be a Thursday episode, so make sure you tune in on Wednesday for the Locked On crossover episode. It'll be myself and Cody Roark of Locked On Broncos. We're so excited to bring this to you and talk a little bit about a very young and exciting team in Denver, as well as a very exciting set of possibilities for the New Orleans Saints future. So don't miss that. That's going to be Wednesday on Locked On Saints. And that's where we're going to start this second segment here as well, just talking about that potential excitement that you really should feel right now about the New Orleans Saints, particularly heading into next week, because we're going to answer a couple of questions that affect the idea of what next week can be for New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Saints fans. So Taysom Hill obviously was a bit of a surprise for a lot of people. Everyone, including myself, expected it to be Jameis Winston that was going to come through. But you know what? In order for us to get an idea of what Taysom can be, and if Taysom can be the guy that can actually challenge and be in the conversation with Jameis Winston for, you know, life after Drew Brees, we had to see him. And that's sort of what happened. I mean, that's sort of what the rumors around Sean Payton within the organization may have been, is that he needed to get a look at Taysom Hill, and no better time than now to get it done, especially going up against a familiar opponent and an opponent that Taysom Hill is familiar with as well, even on an individual level. So it ended up putting him in an advantageous situation here, and he certainly took full advantage of it. Again, completing 18 of his 23 passes for 233 yards, no touchdowns, but he did run for two touchdowns. He also had two fumbles in this game. I think he's only going to get credited for the one on the big quarterback power run that he had, to where he got stripped from behind. But also there was a play early on in the game where he decided to take a lick from one of the defensive backs, I believe. Maybe it was one of the linebackers, one of the defensive players for the Atlanta Falcons, and he ended up fumbling the ball there too. Now, he harmlessly fell on top of it, and no one really even talked about it being a fumble, but that was definitely a fumble. So really, he's put the ball on the ground six times so far this season, and that's probably the biggest negative that you can have about him right now, because other than that, y'all, he was pretty solid. And so we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Like I mentioned, we're going to try to answer those three questions that we talked about in the intro. How much of the offense changed around him? Can they sustain success with Taysom Hill? And did he earn his start for next week? I'm going to go ahead and answer the last one now. Yes, he absolutely did. I think he did enough to earn the starts from now through when Drew Brees comes back, as long as he doesn't take a complete nosedive. If he's able to manage the game in a Teddy Bridgewater fashion, like what we saw last season, the Saints now, by the way, six straight wins without their starting first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, five with Teddy Bridgewater and one with Taysom Hill. So they've been really outstanding in finding ways to game plan and build around these quarterbacks that are coming in relief of Drew Brees. So let's talk a little bit about some of the notes that I took about Taysom throughout the game. Then we'll look a little bit more specifically about how he was utilized. And then we'll talk a little bit about whether or not it's sustainable moving forward for New Orleans. So one of the things that surprised me the most watching Taysom was his eagerness to throw the ball and the lack of eagerness that he had to run the ball. I thought he worked really, really well in the pocket, and actually believe he probably could have run the ball more or made the decision sooner. But I understand they wanted to get an idea of what he was as a passer, and certainly he wanted to be able to prove that aspect of the game as well. And so in those moments where he did take a sack, or he tried to rush a throw, or he was a little bit off target, there was the one near interception that he threw in the red zone, really the only turnover worthy ball that he threw aside from one that we'll talk about here in just a second. But you know, in those moments where he did face that adversity, the strip fumble from the back, all of that, he bounced back really well. And that was one of the things that I wanted to see, was how he could bounce back against adversity. He also had the big hit that he took on that right shoulder, the throwing shoulder, when he, you know, leaned into a tackle against one of the Falcons defenders. That was the first fumble that I mentioned. That was early on in the game. And he bounced back from all of that, very short memory, and continued to produce without really any hiccups throughout any of that action. So that was good to see. The mobility in the pocket was a plus for this team. There was the, I think it was a 19-yard throw to Michael Thomas on an early second down, to where he took the snap, and then he had to work left to allow time for Michael Thomas's route to develop over the crossing route over the middle of the field. That was one of his best throws of the day. That was one of the best examples of him creating time for these deeper intermediate and deeper deep routes, of course, as well, to develop, something that you wouldn't necessarily see with Drew Brees, who wants to get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. He may have immediately turned and thrown the ball to the outlet or the dump off to his left, but instead Taysom Hill was able to move with the route a little bit, buy himself some additional time, and make that pass. He had another one much like that exact same concept, actually, Michael Thomas crossing from right to left over the middle of the field, and he climbed up the pocket after a solid block from Alvin Kamara to keep him and give him time. He did a beautiful job climbing the pocket and delivering the throw on time. It was interesting because there were some times where you saw the anticipation from Taysom Hill that you would see from Drew Brees, and then there were times that you didn't, but it didn't matter because the ball velocity conversation was so much different, right? He didn't have to anticipate as much. He could see what he needed to see and then gun the ball in, but he still anticipated more than what you're used to seeing from Taysom Hill. And I think that's the key. We can't compare him to Drew Brees' level of anticipation, but we can certainly compare him against his own. And in that aspect, he very much improved in that once he got into rhythm. I wanted to see if he could string these plays together in rhythm, and he certainly did. He ended up becoming the second player to rush for 40 plus yards and 2 rushing touchdowns in their first NFL start at quarterback. It was only him and Dante Culpepper back in 2000 that ended up doing that. You saw the deep shots need a little bit of help. You saw a duck really get thrown by him when he had Emmanuel Sanders deep down the field. But that pass ended up being completed. It was a 44-yard gain. Emmanuel Sanders was able to work his way back to the ball. He was in coverage down there with a linebacker, Deion Jones, that was hanging with him. So I do think that there is positive there. And the thing that I would take away from it is that you actually had Michael Thomas open in the intermediate area, which is almost most assuredly where Drew Brees would have gone with that pass. But because Taysom Hill is, you know, he's got the arm and he's ready to take those shots down the field, he was willing to gun it down there. I think he just needs some work in terms of what that deep ball looks like. I think he tried to put a bit of an arch on it. Didn't really work out for him. But, you know, look, in the stat sheet, it's going to go down as a 44-yard completion and one of the Saints' few 40-plus-yard plays on the offensive side, particularly when it comes to conversations of air yardage, that one was 50-plus on that completion. So I went through and I rewatched this game, and then I rewatched each of his throws, and I tracked whether they were shotgun, not in shotgun, what the drop back number was in terms of, you know, 3-step drop, 5-step drop, 7-step drop, all of that. And then took a look at how far he got through his reads. There were a lot of times to where, like, I've got here a couple of third string, you know, a couple of third reads, a couple of second or third reads, third or fourth reads. I've got about 5 of those that I found throughout his 18 completions alone. So that's good to see, because I wanted to see how he was going to be going through his reads and his progressions on his shotgun plays, in which these were split 13 and 13. He was under center 13 times and he was under shotgun 13 times. In shotgun on those 13 plays, he threw 11 passes, completed 7 of those, took 2 sacks, and then completed those for 91 yards. That was 13 yards per completion during those. And then under center, he was 11 of 12. With 1 sack on those 13 plays, 142 yards, 12.9 yards per completion on that one as well. So he was actually more efficient under center, which is something that really, really surprised me big time, because I expected them to really utilize him really out of shotgun for the majority of the time, but he was really split exactly 50-50 there and was extremely, extremely efficient in those under center snaps. So for me, when I look at that, that tells me his ability to stay in the pocket, to look down the field, to look to throw, to only run when necessary, to make those decisions, to have the legs available should he need them, to work from under center, to read through his progressions. To me, this style of play is sustainable. The fumbles are an issue, but to be honest, the fumbles, we've seen Coach Payton work through those before. Look at the way that Mark Ingram's career turned around. He's worked through the fumble issue before. He can do that again. Interceptions would have been a different choice, would have been a different situation. But if he can continue to be smart with the ball, manage the game, and have these additional elements that aren't presently available for the Saints offense, then I think that that's really what you want to see. So we'll continue to break down Taysom Hill's performance, how the offense shifted around him. We'll talk a little bit more about it here in just a moment. We're also going to get into the defense as well, because the defense really helped to solidify this win for this team and for Taysom Hill in his first career start as an NFL quarterback. So we're going to get to that here in just a moment here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. And don't forget that today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Best tasting protein bar on the market. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar's new, improved, and even deliciouser than it was before you bought them all out. Once we started, covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Great for the health conscious person that's looking to lose or maintain weight. These bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and great for your keto diet as well. You can get around 17 to 19 grams of protein in these, but only 130 to 180 calories in each one as well. And you're right around 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs, no matter which flavor you choose. And now you can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Just go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Houdat Nation, wrapping up today's episode with the recap of the defensive performance, getting a quick overview of the defense in this game, who played an incredible game. But before we get to that, just want to talk just a little bit more about Taysom Hill. First of all, Taysom Hill, again, 18 to 23, 233 yards. I bring that up one more time so that I can also bring up the fact that Matt Ryan was 19 of 37 for 232 yards and two interceptions. So Taysom Hill outperforming Matt Ryan in his first start as an NFL quarterback. And a lot of that, of course, had to do with what the defense put Matt Ryan through. But I wanted to speak on a little bit about Taysom Hill and how the offense changed around him. And the thing that's most interesting to me is that Taysom was actually really adept in running Drew Brees' offense and just adding new dimensions to it, adding the deep ball to where the routes didn't curve off after 16 yards and instead they stayed vertical, adding the ability to create with his legs and extend plays either to allow other players to get open and route combinations to take form and concepts to develop, or just being able to scramble and get away. He scrambled for a touchdown. He also ran a designed run for a touchdown. Those elements being added to the game are a lot of fun for Sean Payton, I have to imagine, and certainly should find their way into the game plan next week, playing in probably, 40, 30 degree weather at that point in Denver. So makes a lot of sense that you would see Taysom Hill just continue to get his opportunities. I mean, this evaluation process is now underway. Do it, right? Do it. Do it to its fullest. So we'll see what goes on with Taysom as it moves forward. But I feel very confident actually in him, surprisingly, because again, I was one of those people that was saying Jameis Winston should be the starter, but nothing changes your mind like winning, I suppose. So it's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess, sometimes. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the defense here. I think this is another thing that gives you a lot of confidence, regardless of whoever the hell the starting quarterback is for the Saints. Hell, the Saints went and signed Trevor Siemian earlier or later in the week to get him added on as a third quarterback to fill up Drew Brees' injured reserve spot, traveling, you know, moving forward here over the next couple of weeks. And look, Trevor Siemian could end up being a long-term, you know, backup responsibility, clipboard, coach on the sideline type guy for however long if he proves that he's suitable for that role. So, you know, hey, great for them to get him in there. But, you know, hell, he could be the quarterback with the way that this defense is playing right now. 20 total points allowed over the last three games, 8.3 points per game allowed, 13 sacks in the last three games, as well as eight of them going just this last game against the Atlanta Falcons. And don't forget, this is just what the Saints do when it comes to the Falcons. I mean, they had nine sacks on them the time before. They have 17 combined sacks over the last two games against Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Just, Matt Ryan just goes to bed nightmares before and after playing against the New Orleans Saints. But it wasn't just the pass rush, it was the coverage as well. Calvin Ridley catching 5 of 9 targets for 90 yards. Julio Jones catching only 2 of 2 targets for 39 yards. I believe he only played about 25 snaps in this game on and off with a hamstring injury. But here's one of the things that I really enjoyed about this game. The Saints defense allowed 0 catches to tight ends. Remember how terrifying tight ends were the first three games of the season for the Saints defense? Goose egg, 0 catches for tight ends in this game and only allowed 2 to running backs for a total of 7 yards, 1 to the fullback and 1 to Todd Gurley. The Saints also added in 7 tackles for a loss and 18 total pressures in this game. They lived behind the line of scrimmage on the Atlanta Falcons. And it didn't just come down to the pass rush reps and winning the pass rush reps, which they certainly did. Trey Hendrickson adding 2 more sacks, 9.5 sacks, now tied for the league lead right now, depending on what happens with Aaron Donald tomorrow night, again, or I guess tonight, Monday night when you're listening to this, against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who, raise your hand if you thought Trey Hendrickson was going to be tied for the league lead in sacks 11 weeks into the NFL. And actually, don't go ahead, put your hand down because you're lying. You're an absolute liar. I'm just playing. But, you know, look, this Saints defense played a great game here. They gave up a red zone possession early, but didn't allow a touchdown there. They held at that point, forced the field goal, then they didn't allow another red zone appearance after that. Younghoe Koo did all the scoring for the Atlanta Falcons with 3 field goals, a couple of them from distance. And when it came to the Saints pass rush, again, the pass rush is very good, but we can't forget that the coverage was outstanding as well, particularly in the short and intermediate area. the linebackers, corners, secondary, they took away the entire middle of the field and everything close to the line of scrimmage. Matt Ryan had no ability to get the ball out quickly. He had to wait and see if any of those deeper route concepts could evolve. And unfortunately for him, or rather develop, but unfortunately for him, the Falcons offensive line is not the Saints offensive line. They can't hold their blocks that long. And the Saints just continue to get after them. Three sacks by Cam Jordan, two each by David Onyemata and Trey Hendrickson. And then, of course, DeMario Davis got into the fold as well with a sack that was just a beautiful sneak up on you and then pop out of nowhere behind, right in front of your offensive lineman to get the sack. And the linebacker duo between DeMario Davis and Quan Alexander continues to be phenomenal for the second game. Quan Alexander just dropped right into this defense and picked it up at an incredibly fast rate. He ended up going to the injury tent. We didn't see him come back. We saw Alex Anzalone come back out and just play full go. I'm not going to tell you that Alex Anzalone was all of a sudden great, but I'll tell you that Alex Anzalone got benched 2 weeks ago, got back out on that field, and Deuce Windham and Elias Williams and I talked about this over on Hudak Confessional, just played his heart out when he got his opportunity to be back on the field. And that's pretty dope to see. You saw that. You saw Jameis Winston cheering Taysom Hill, or rather Deontay Harris down the sideline on a Taysom Hill dump off pass. Like, you just saw so much of that camaraderie and the locker room that we're accustomed to seeing from this team just continues to get stronger and stronger as the season goes on, much like it usually does. So they are in rhythm right now, the New Orleans Saints. And a big part of that has to do with the way that this defense has turned around. Remember, I'm talking about a defense right now that didn't have Marshawn Lattimore as their starting corner out on the field going up against Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and even to an extent, Russell Gage, who actually was targeted more than both of his counterparts combined in this game, 12 targets to a combined 11 for Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. Again, I can't stress enough, Julio Jones was dealing with the injury, didn't play a ton, but still, you saw what you needed to see from this Saints defense. And of course, they, you know, didn't allow a 100-yard rusher, and now I believe their 47th regular season game straight. More than that, they're above 50 if you include the playoff games. They haven't allowed it as well. So let's go ahead and get into our top performers as we wrap up the show today. Have to start this one off, of course, with DeMario Davis. He led the team with 7 total tackles. He also had a tackle for a loss, a sack, 2 quarterback hits, and a pass defended. Janoris Jenkins, 5 tackles, an interception, and 5 passes defense. He was outstanding in this game. This is the best game that we've seen from Janoris Jenkins. Even taking into account the pick 6 to open up the season in the first game, 5 passes defense, he was not allowing anything to go his way. And then Cam Jordan, of course, with his 4 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss, 3 quarterback hits, and his 3 sacks. And then, as I mentioned, David Onyemata, Trey Hendrickson also combining for 2 sacks. David Onyemata continues to play an incredible season, and I am perfectly happy to say David Onyemata is underpaid. And I'm really, really grateful that he ended up taking a team-friendly deal to stay in New Orleans for the next couple of seasons. All right, y'all, we are far from done here on Locked On Saints. Another victory Monday in the books, but we'll be back for our Analytics Tuesday tomorrow to break this down even further. And I'm hoping to be joined by a very good friend of mine who is a way smarter quarterback mind than I could ever dream to be, Chrissy Freud. Hopefully we'll be able to get her to come through on the show to talk a little bit about what she saw from Taysom Wednesday. We'll start to turn our attention early over to the Denver Broncos for our weekly crossover, which will usually be on Thursday. But of course, it's Thanksgiving Day, so we'll have Turkey Day on Thursday and we'll be back at it on Friday as well. So a lot more to come here over the week, a lot more to discuss from this 24-9 victory for the New Orleans Saints and Taysom Hill's first of all, start as an NFL quarterback, and of course, victory as well. So we are far from done here on Locked On Saints. Don't miss an episode this week. So much to talk through and so much to break down. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. As always, I thank you very much for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support. Ever helped me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust Hudat Nation. I'll holla at you.